ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته, and if it were not for the grace of Allah upon you and His mercy. We see this ayah so many times in this surah, that if the grace of Allah and mercy was not upon you, ما زكى منكم من أحد أبدا, no one would be pure among you. They would not get salvation from sins, nor get the ability to repent, and no one would remain pure. This is the grace and bounty of Allah, that He gave us faith. Faith, or iman, is a protection from shamelessness. As long as there is faith, people will not go upon the way of indecency and shamelessness. When there is iman, or faith, then a person becomes successful in remaining pure. Otherwise, we see how widespread shamelessness is and how easily accessible it is. If a person doesn't have protection of faith, then the person will most likely fall into the sins. This is because a person with faith and iman knows that Allah is watching them, and he thinks about having to answer for his actions. So this is the faith in Allah that protects them. And those who do not have faith, we see that there are no limits or restrictions in anything. Therefore, we see people with so many affairs, multiple partners, and do not know whose child it is. There is living together. They have no fear. Even among Muslims, there is living together before marriage, saying we will live with each other and get to know each other. Then we will get married. This is shamelessness and indecency. Because faith is lacking, therefore they reach this point. When there is faith, a person stays protected from these evils. And if it were not for the grace of Allah, then no one would have been safe. There is so much attraction between men and women that shaitan comes through them and initiates waswasas or whisperings. And in that case, shaitan wouldn't have left anyone. But then Allah bestowed iman or faith to mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left doors of repentance open. If the doors of repentance were closed, then how can anyone become pure after repentance? وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِّي مَن يَشَاءُ, but Allah purifies whosoever He wills. This is the will of Allah, to accept the repentance and purify someone from their sins. Second point is that no one should call themselves pure, saying, I am pious and I do not get affected by these things, or it doesn't make a difference if I sit with certain people or see something indecent. When someone says, it doesn't matter, calling oneself pure, no one can declare themselves to be pure. It is Allah who purifies whom He wills. No one can say they are pure for themselves. Or I am so pious and say temptations do not have any effect on me. This is not true, because every person gets whispers of shaitan. We are all humans. No one should consider themselves pure, but should submit and humble oneself to Allah. We learn from the Quran that even Yusuf a.s. said, O Allah, protect me and save me from this, while he was a prophet. He says, O Allah, only you are the protector and helper. So it is only Allah who purifies, keeps pure those whom he wants to keep pure. Wallahu sami'un alim, and Allah is all-hearing and all-knowing. Wa la ya'tali Ulul Fadli Ma'akum, and should not swear possessor of grace and bounty from you. Wassa'ati, and those with means. What is this ayah about? We will look over its background. Mistah was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu's cousin from his maternal aunt. As we learn about Mistah, Mistah was his aunt, because Mistah was a close relative, and he faced a lot of difficulties. He was also a migrant and had migrated as it is mentioned that when he was migrating, he had two or three other cousins along with him. On his way to Medina, a snake had bit him, so he wasn't even able to continue onward. Then he told his cousins to leave him there and continue onward by themselves. They refused to leave him and carried him between their arms, taking turns. They covered the distance from Mecca to Medina this way. Then he became well. Then, when in Medina, he had the honor to be among the 313 companions who fought in the Battle of Badr. But when he became part in spreading the scandal, as we learned, that some true believers also became involved in this accusation. So he was among them. Mistah was 4 years old when his father had passed away. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was taking care of him and his family since that time. He would take care of all their household expenses. Now when he had put his share in the slander of his daughter, Abu Bakr called him and asked him. He said, "You are my first cousin. Why did you do this?" Abu Bakr was a great and high-ranking companion, but still a human. He could not tolerate the false accusation against his daughter. All others who were involved were from the Ansars of Medina and were not from his own family. Mistah was his own relation, and then he took care of him like a father, and for such a long time. He never deprived him from not giving, so he would not feel the loss of his father. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu called him and said, "Wallahi, after today you are a stranger to me, and you will not get my money." He said this, ending his relation with him, and told him to leave. When Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said this, as his ranks were high, and when someone of a higher status says even something small that is not worthy of their status, then it is not acceptable. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah, which was revealed for Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, but then generally for everyone else. وَلَا يَأْتَلِي, and should not swear, who, أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ, possessor of grace among you. Who is this being said for? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is in high ranks, with sa'ati, and with means, and who is generous. He is one who spent in the path of Allah. So what is he told not to vow for? أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى, that they give to the close relatives, وَالْمِسَاكِينَ, and the one who is needy, وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ, and those who migrate, فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, in the path of Allah. Whoever has means, they shouldn't vow that they will not give to their close relative, or to any poor or needy person, or anyone who migrated, saying they will never give to him again. These three qualities, أُولِي الْقُرْبَى, مَسَاكِينَ, وَالْمُهَاجِرِ, was in Mistah. He was a close relative. He was very poor, and he was a migrant. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu stopped giving him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like it. His migration was a big deed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted. His participation in Badr was a big deal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want him to be deprived. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "No, you will not do this, but وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَهُ, and they should forgive and overlook." He has to forgive and overlook. These are two separate matters. We see that sometimes we forgive someone, but deep in the heart is that ill feeling the person doesn't get over. And this does happen. This mistake or wrong the other person does onto someone stays in the person's heart. For that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلْيَصْفَهُ, overlook. In the meaning we learned, it was from the root word صَدْفَهَ. The word صَفَ is also from this word, and it means page. When one turns the page, can they see the previous page? No, it is not seen. It stays back. So forgive and overlook in such a way as you flip the page, and do not ever mention about what happened, as if nothing ever happened. This is something very difficult. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes such an offer that it became easy for Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to do it. And if we also truly believe in the hereafter and want forgiveness, then this is a big incentive that Allah gives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a big offer, and that is أَلَّا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Don't you wish, or don't you love, that Allah forgives you? Allah gives the offer. On one side is your anger, and a person will say, okay, I will forgive, but the matter doesn't go away in their heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, forgive and overlook. Forgive as if it never happened, and turn the page. Let it go. Chapter closed, just like this. But what will I get? You have to do it if you want Allah to forgive you. Wallahu ghafuru rahim, and Allah is most forgiving. Our hearts are never that big that we forgive those who have wronged us. And even if we forgive, we don't let it go in our hearts. But if we have to take this offer, we have to do it if we want for Allah to forgive us. And we must think, is our need for Allah to forgive us more than our anger with someone, or less? Which is bigger, our anger or the offer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The offer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bigger. Do we want to keep the anger and dwell on it, or we want to accept the offer? But the offer will only be valid when we وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا, we get hurt from many people, even close relations. Some relatives say very hurtful things, and then we don't even want to meet with them. And sometimes there are close relatives who you may have helped in the past by helping them monetarily, or help them get a job, or do certain favors for them. Then later, when they go on to say things that hurt our feelings, if we can think of these relations and think how this close relative of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who took part in the slander against his daughter, nothing can be more hurtful than this. Then we see the reaction of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When he hears this ayah, he starts crying and says, Inni uhibbu an yaghfira Allah li. I only love and wish that Allah forgives me. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, don't you love that He forgives you? We see how quickly the companions acted upon the ayahs of the Quran. There are many ayahs of the Quran with commands that come in front of us. We are told many times to forgive and overlook someone who has wronged us, but we say we just can't. Then we must remember, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah never burdens any soul beyond His capacity. If Allah says وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows we can do it. That's why He tells us to do it. If He could never be able to do it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have known it, that it is not in our capacity, then Allah wouldn't give the command for this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows we can do it, but only those would do it who want to be forgiven. It is strange how some people never forgive even if the other person calls and asks to be forgiven. Are we like this, that we don't forgive others even when asked to be forgiven? This can be close relations or even husband. We should think that if Allah were to do the same with us when we don't want to forgive, then where else would we go? If someone has wronged us once, well, we may have wronged many and do it every day. Even after seeking forgiveness, we make the same mistake. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would deal with us that way and decide not to forgive us, then what would become of us? He is Ghafoorur Rahim. If He forgives someone who makes so many mistakes, then who are we to persist and say, I will never forgive? People overlook 99 good things someone has done to them, but they reprimand for that one mistake. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one who overlooks our 99 bad deeds and accepts our one good deed. He is called Ar-Rahman, and He is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. He is Allah, our Lord. It is only man that just focuses on that one mistake and dwells on it and says he will never forgive, while our well-being is in the forgiveness of others. It is only because of arrogance when someone doesn't want to forgive. Then they should think, how can they expect Allah to forgive them? Also, vice versa. If we are the ones who wronged others, we should ask the person to forgive. And it's not something that makes us less or lowly. If we make a mistake, we should ask for forgiveness and make our hearts big enough to forgive others. They are all humans like us. They too make mistakes. So one who knows that Allah will forgive them if they forgive others, it will make it easy to forgive. If we like to be forgiven by Allah, then we should take up on that offer of Allah. And it can be any of our relations. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. How did Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu handle the situation after this ayah? He called Mistah and he told him that Allah had revealed regarding himself and him. Now, he said, I will spend more on you than before, making it double, and said, I forgive you for the pain you caused by slandering on Aisha. Allah has commanded me to forgive you, and I wish for Allah to forgive me. We see that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu didn't become stubborn and present his excuse saying, I am first to believe, first to migrate, and the first one to support the Prophet. There is nothing wrong with me. No, he had a realization of his own faults and sins. Well, when we think of companions, they are free from sins. We are the ones who need forgiveness, and no one can attest that they have no sins and say that others are the ones who do wrong. This is arrogance. If they wronged us, then remember, we feel short in the rights of Allah. We all make mistakes, and this ayah is for all of us. And this is a test for us. It is difficult to forgive. But this is what is important. It is easy to memorize meanings, take tests, but acting upon the commands of Allah is difficult. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْسَنَاتِ. Indeed, those who accuse, those who are chaste. الْغَافِلَاتِ. Those who are unaware. Initially, this ayah was for Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Then after that, any other woman who is accused and unaware of the accusations against her. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was unaware, as she didn't even know that such scandals were being spread about her, or even that people can say such things about her. She was an innocent young girl and didn't even know about these shameless deeds. Al-Mu'minati, and those who are believing women. When anyone slanders or falsely accuses such innocent women, what is their punishment? لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. They are cursed in this world and in the hereafter. What is لُعِنُوا? Being cursed. One meaning is being removed from the mercy of Allah. Another is to see that it is that Allah has rejected them. They are rejected. As when a person goes for an interview with great hopes and then gets rejected. This is a humiliation for the person. Even the word rejection causes pain. If we think of whenever a person gets rejected, it could be a marriage proposal where he gets rejected, and people get depressed over this Well, this is not that great a deal. Rather, one whom Allah rejects. What a big rejection that is. It is just like getting thrown out from him. Anyone whom Allah rejects and takes away from his mercy, will that person have any salvation? Then he is cursed in the world and in the hereafter. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ And for them is a great punishment. Under a proper Islamic jurisdiction, a person would get lashed for saying such things. But today, there is no such punishment being carried out. Then how can it happen today? If today, if there is an unmarried young woman, or a widow, or a divorced woman in some countries, people make their living alone very difficult. And people in the society say, it is very difficult for a woman to live alone. But why do they say that? Usually an unmarried girl is under care of her father, but when a woman is divorced or widowed and alone, anyone can easily accuse her. When there is no male guardian, then they must remember that even though the punishment is not carried out today, but such instigations are taking place, then whoever slanders the woman, those who are innocent of what they are being accused of, then in the Tabrani hadith it is mentioned that falsely accusing an innocent woman, that is enough to destroy a person's 100 years of good deeds. Most of us do not even live that long, but what it means is that a person's life's worth of good deeds will be rejected. Those who loosely talk about other women, young girls, and make up stories, for them is the curse of Allah in this world and in the hereafter, and they have a big punishment waiting for them. They must know that one day they have to meet with Allah. What would they do there? And if anyone is removed from the mercy of Allah in this world, we cannot make that excuse that it is so common, everyone does it. These are grave matters. Except if anyone repents in this life, as the door of repentance is always open. Then on the Day of Judgment, يَوْمَ تَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ وَأَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ On that day, will testify against them their tongues, their hands, and their feet, because of what they did. On the Day of Resurrection, the body parts, that which are under our control, as we think we have control over them, thinking that they are our hands and they will remain as ours, and our feet, they are ours and under our command today. This is because Allah has commanded them to obey our commands in this world. And just as the brain sends the messages, our hands start to move and our feet start to move. This is because Allah has given their control to us at this time. On the day of Qiyamah or resurrection, they will no longer be under our control. Allah will take control over them and command them to speak the truth and testify. Then the tongue will speak and say, this person used me to say this and that. And the hands will testify that this person used me for this and that purpose. The feet will say, he used me to walk at this, such place. The body parts will be testifying against us that we consider ours today. We cannot ever think that our own body parts will speak against us. Even if the entire world betrays us, we still think that our body is our own. We can expect even our own kids to betray us, but not our own body. But on the day of resurrection, this self, this body, will stand up to testify against itself. And whenever we do something, these body parts are being witnesses of our actions, our hands, our tongues, our eyes, our feet, and even our skin. Even our skin is witnessing our sins. So if we have to say something, should we leave our tongue somewhere else? We cannot do that. Until they are with us, they are watching what we are doing and recording. That's why they will testify. That day man will say, "You speak against myself. Who gave you the ability to speak?" They will say, "Our Lord gave us the ability to speak, as he gave others the ability to speak." Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu stated that when the idolaters will see that only those who prayed in the world enter Jannah, so they will say, "We will deny our attributing partners with Allah." At that time, their mouths will be sealed and their hands and feet will testify. They will not be able to hide anything from Allah. They will say that we will also become from those with Tawheed, or one who believes in Allah and worships Allah alone. The Prophet ﷺ said, "When the evil deeds of the disbelievers are presented, they will deny them and will plead for their innocence. And it will be said that your neighbors are testifying against you. They will say that they are all liars. Then it will be said, your family will testify against you. Then they will say, they are also liars. Then they will say, swear that you speak the truth. They will say, we swear that my family is lying, my neighbors are lying, and my friends are, and angels are also lying." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then will seal their mouths, then their hands and feet will testify against them. Many ahadith state that how these body parts will speak that day, whether against the disbelievers, idolaters, or even hypocrites. Here, those who slandered against innocent girls or women, their hands and feet will testify against them. يَوْمَ إِذِي يُوَفِّيهِمُ اللَّهُ دِينَهُمُ الْحَقِّ. That day, Allah will give fully their true recompense, according to how much sins the person committed, will be recompensed accordingly and completely. However much a person spoke in the slander, how much share they put in it, they will only get recompense for that which they deserve. وَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقُّ الْمُبِينَ. And they will know that Allah manifests the truth. Allah knew what they were accusing and how we exposed it. الْخَبِيثَاتُ لِلْخَبِيثِينَ وَالْخَبِيثُونَ لِلْخَبِيثَاتِ. Unclean and impure women are for unclean and impure men, and unclean and impure men are for unclean and impure women. They suit each other, and they are for each other. Their attraction is towards likes of them. This can be understood better with an example of a man with an evil character. If he has to marry, he looks for a woman to marry, someone who has similar interest in things as he does, and those who do not care for deen or religion, then do not like a woman who covers up, and specifically ask for a person without hijab, because they want what they like for themselves. So women who are impure or corrupt look for men who would not restrict them, and the men with that character prefer women of that character. والطيبات للطيبين. And similarly, pure and good women are for pure and good men, and vice versa. والطيبون للطيبات. And pure good men are for pure good women. Here it indicates that how the Prophet ﷺ is the purest and best of souls. Would Allah choose for him a wife who was unclean? The Prophet ﷺ himself was pure, then Allah would only choose a pure wife for him. Then how could they even consider such allegations against the wife of the Prophet ﷺ? Didn't they think good that the man who has haya or modesty will only like and choose a woman who has haya and modesty, and men of loose character only like women of loose character? These men cannot tolerate living with women of haya or modesty. أُولَٰئِكَ مُبَرَّؤُونَ مِمَّا يَقُولُونَ. These are those who are absolved from whatever they falsely accuse them of, be it either Aisha رضي الله تعالى عنها or Safwan رضي الله عنه. They were pure and absolved from what people accused them with. لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. For them is forgiveness. Not that they committed a sin, but even forgiveness is a reward and a bestowal of Allah and a blessing. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises forgiveness for them in this world, وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ, and for them is a noble and honorable provision. People try to dishonor them, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote for them a noble provision. The noble provision that Allah will welcome them with in Jannah, because Rizqun Kareem is only in Jannah, and they will be blessed with that in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has high ranks for them, for Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and Safwan radiallahu anhu. Whoever accuses innocent women and they are free from what they are accused of, for them is a promise of pure provisions in Jannah. So if an innocent person gets slandered, instead of showing anger and fighting and initiating slanders in retaliation, they should endure with patience. We see the patience of Aisha radiallahu anha and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. They did not confront and start fights with the accusers. Aisha radiallahu anha never said anything in return, even after finding out, not to Mistah nor Hassan bin Thabit. This was their noble character. She forgave them and would even later say, do not say anything about Hassan. In Hadith, it is mentioned that in a believer, only what is pure and good enters their heart. Then they say it with their tongue. And because it is good, those who hear take it in their hearts. Likewise, evil talk descends in evil people's heart, and from there it comes upon their tongues. Then evil people hear it and cause it to enter in their hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us act upon what we learn. And if anyone hurt us in the past, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our hearts big enough to forgive them, so Allah can forgive us. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Please listen to the recitation.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين يحبون أن تشيع الفاحشة في الذين آمنوا لهم عذاب أليم في الدنيا والآخرة والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته وأن الله رؤوف رحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان ومن يتبع خطوات الشيطان فإنه يأمر بالفحشاء والمنكر ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته ما زكى منكم من أحد أبدا ولكن الله يزكي من يشاء والله سميع عليم ولا يأت لأولو الفضل منكم والسعة أن يؤتوا أولي القربى والمساكين والمهاجرين في سبيل الله وليعفوا وليصفحوا ألا تحبون أن يغفر الله لكم والله غفور رحيم إن الذين يرمون المحصنات الغافلات المؤمنات لعنوا في الدنيا والآخرة ولهم عذاب عظيم يوم تشهد عليهم ألسنتهم وأيديهم وأرجلهم بما كانوا يعملون يومئذ يوفيهم الله دينهم الحق ويعلمون أن الله هو الحق المبين الخبيثات للخبيثين والخبيثون للخبيثات والطيبات للطيبين والطيبون للطيبات أولئك مبرؤون مما يقولون لهم مغفرة ورزق كريم